Now we learn about joint ventures. So joint venture is the kind of an agreement wherein two or more firms in different countries think of coming together on one common project, okay, where each one's role is well defined. Someone may be giving a land for the plant, or he already has a plant, so he gives that, he gives an access to the network that he is having, etc. Someone brings the technical expertise, blah blah. So that's how more two or more party come together. Here the fund is infused based on each one's role, etc. So then you decide the host country and the collaborating or the joint venture partner, etc. And accordingly, the based on again the law of the land, because India governs this kind of a thing. So 5149 is a normal norm where foreign countries or foreign investors are about 49%, and the Indian investors are generally allowed to have 51% market share. This is when they enter into joint venture in our country. But likewise, they if they are going abroad in other market, then they have to follow the norms in that country. New company's name is mostly a joint name. So this is an example for Tata, and Tata has joint venture with Docomo. So it was like a Tata Docomo also in India. So based on government regulatory policy, the stake in the joint venture gets decided in certain industry to safeguard the interest of the Indian entrepreneurs, etc. So like for example, media, it is 26%. Later it has been increased to 49%, and now you see it is getting further increased, including insurance. Now it has gone up as high as 74% that foreign counterpart can own. So this has an impact on the management. Okay, the party with the majority stake holds the core management. Okay, so then if you have more investment, you hold better managerial power on the functioning. Government may change this regulation. So recent past, the stake in the defense project is now allowed, okay, to be 49%. Earlier it was 26%. Same with the aviation. Thus, foreign entity stake can now go up to 49%. So, but it is too favorable. Government can create an unfavorable situation either. So that's what joint venture is all about. The core advantage is shared investment, therefore the shared risk, faster access to the market, local expertise being available, market penetration, reach, etc. could be faster. Okay, you can develop credibility, which depends on the name of your local counterpart there, distribution channel already available to you. Okay, legal compliances can be handled by the legal counterpart, and long-term business development is feasible. While the disadvantage are like if the conflict arise between the two partner, legal tangles will be very, very cumbersome. Okay, cultural and operational differences, how culturally and how operationally they are aligned. You may be very, very time bound, you may be very sensitive to time, but in that country time may not be as hard or rigidly followed. That also may lead to simple thing like this can start creating rifts, you know. So shared profit, reducing financial gains. So because you are sharing profit, so like you will as much earn less, kind of complexity in decision making, multiple stakeholders. So legal issues, regularity, compliances, all has to be seen it. Okay, difficulty in exiting the JV. Once you enter into it, to move out, it's again a cumbersome process. Okay, and risk of losing intellectual property right. Okay, because manufacturing and such thing are that once you learn how to do it, you can create an alternative to do that same thing, and in that case the intellectual property right, etc. do not hold good. So key success, okay, what are the keys that will help your joint venture succeed is the compatibility between the management. So how are they compatible temperamentally, ability wise, etc. Create an environment for success means you should ensure that various aspects will be taken care of. Focus is a success. Okay, so each party will have to be flexible, cooperative to the other party. One has to understand over a long period each other, partner to have a good and proven track record. You choose a one who have demonstrated success of such venture getting into successful, you know, execution. good knowledge about the field, the product, the market, etc., local conditions and all, ability to manage regulations and law issues, cultural nuances are handled very well, and coming together should be adding a value for both. These are the aspects one need to look at. Many joint ventures have failed. So either after they enter into joint venture, the strategies are not aligned, incompatibility surfaces among the partner, stubborn attitude, etc., in unrealistic or inequitable deal, and suddenly then you start feeling that this term of the contract is not in my favor, and those kind of issues come out. Management is in the weaker hand, the one who is a majority stakeholder. Suppose if he tries to bring in not so right management, you can't do much. You can see that he is not able to handle sales very well, he is not able to handle operation very well. So that leads to the rift. Okay, indirectly trying to control. So that's also a very, very hidden aspect of a many joint venture failing. Okay, not reaching envisaged goal within the given time, political interferences, you know, various turmoil in the country going against you, cultural, social and economic threats are not really working out for you. So these are the various reasons where the joint venture may fail. So now we learn about market entry strategies, mergers and acquisition. Okay, here it's a two different term, in a way two different approaches, but briefly we will try and understand. Here two companies, okay, can come into a consolidation mode, and that can be achieved either through merger or through an acquisition. Merger, as the name suggests, is this joining or combination of the two company to form one new company. So both may lose identity and you may come out with a new identity. Acquisition is the takeover, acquiring another company, okay, and then dilute them into your company. So one of the partner, acquirer, will retain his identity, okay. In a merger, both company have their own share subject to applicable government regulations. So that is again based on the company laws, etc. In acquisition also, home country's firm buys the relevant available stake in the host country company, then only it is considered as an acquisition. Again, acquisitions are termed as hostile acquisition, backdoor entry, many such other terms are floating, but essence right now for you is to just understand what is acquisition vis-a-vis mergers. So under mergers and acquisition, acquisitions allows you to use all current infrastructure, network and local resources of the company that you acquire. So you may acquire the other company to various reasons, like Meta has acquired, you know, Instagram and likewise. So there may be another tactical strategic reasons, okay, or they may have some technology which, if it is utilized for your work, can give you a distinct edge. So you are able to use entire expertise, the network infrastructure that the party whom you have acquired having it can be also utilized by you. Indian companies have also shown courage to acquire companies abroad, like Tata has acquired Jaguar and Land Rover, okay, Bharti Airtel has acquired Zen Telecom in Africa, and more such examples are there. Aditya Birla has number of companies under him. So merger and acquisition is a very potent tool, you know, to enter foreign market. The advantage is, like, you get immediate access to the market, economies of scale, compatibility, competitiveness can be enhanced, etc. Brand value will get a boost, okay, access to advanced technology and expertise. So that may be the reason why you are acquiring the other company. You may eliminate the competition, so you may acquire or, you know, merge existing competitor into you, so thereby you create a lake of competition. So like faster revenue generation, you are able to expand faster, utilize his network, his customer base, so maybe revenue generation is faster, and you have a control over the business. That is very important. As against this, the disadvantage is, like, it's a high financial cost, therefore it has its own risk. It doesn't guarantee you success. A lot of integration difficulties may be posed, okay, labor strike and unrest and cultural differences, will not allow the things to really come at a peace, you know. So that's also leads to many such aspects, like Tata has faced in the steel company that it has acquired in UK, a lot of labor unrest, okay. There may be regulatory hurdles, risk of overvaluation, etc. Means you probably were given overvalued price of the company whom you are acquiring, and then once you acquire and you get into it, you may know this. Now in that case, it's like a financial burden for you. Employee may resist your acquiring or merging with you, etc. And uncertainty in achieving expected synergy. You have acquired or merged that company with an expectation of creating a specific synergy which may not materialize. So that will really threaten the business as a whole. The next strategy is the management contract. Here, a local or foreign firm seeks the managerial expertise. Okay. The contract is signed detailing responsibility, duration, financial terms, performance criteria, what is to be monitored, managed. That clarity is created. Managing company takes charge of the entire operation, staffing, performance optimization. So like, say for example, even when you are getting into a joint venture where a plant is coming up and you want to have a monitoring eye on it, so you have to get into a management contract with the project management firm who understands the plant operation, the progress, etc. And then you give them that as a task, okay. So revenue is typically earned through management fees that the company will charge you, either a percentage of the business profit or a revenue. There are many ways that the revenue of that management firm who's giving you managerial support can be determined. Other strategies worth looking at is the greenfield investment. A company establishes operation from the ground up, totally new, finding land, creating manufacturing facility, sales setup, network expansion. So this is known as a greenfield investment. Hyundai set up its first manufacturing plant was a greenfield investment by Hyundai. Turnkey projects, a company designs, builds and hands over a full operations facility to the foreign client, commonly used in infrastructure, that is construction of the bridges, dams, or an IT company or a construction project, as I gave you the example. So here entire project construction, dam construction, bridge construction, Larsen & Toubro generally does this way, is under one company. The assigning company generally gives this as a turnkey project to Larsen & Toubro. So like government of Maharashtra has given a turnkey execution to L&T for metro rail project, etc. So that's a turnkey project way of execution. Piggybacking. So smaller firms use the distribution network of larger companies to enter foreign market. Okay, so here non-competing product can do so. Indian organic food brands leveraging international supermarket chain like Whole Foods, etc. So they directly approach these supermarkets and then try to sell that. So you are like kind of piggybacking on the available access at the supermarket, etc. Contract manufacturing and outsourcing, though both are as such a different terms, but manufacturing limits this to the manufacturing activity where you give a entire contract to manufacture your goods or service, products, etc. to somebody else. Okay, outsourcing is applicable to many other aspects, which could be also outsourcing the service like a manpower employment, training of the manpower. So that is an outsourcing. So here Apple outsources iPhone production to Foxconn in India. Okay, so that's what one has to see. So among other strategies, one is a piggybacking wherein the small firm gets this advantage. They ride over the reach of the larger companies. They are non-competing. So here like Indian organic food brands are leveraging the international supermarket chain. So like Whole Foods. So once you approach them, they have a multiple outlets. So they will make your goods available there. So you are kind of piggybacking. Contract manufacturing and outsourcing. Manufacturing and outsourcing are two different this thing. Manufacturing, however, limits to manufacturing of the goods, while outsourcing applies to also services. You can outsource services of human resource employment or training and development, etc. So here Apple has outsourced the iPhone production. So there is a contract manufacturing to Foxconn in India. Foxconn makes world's almost 80 to 90% of the mobile different brands. So they are kind of, you can say, contract manufacturing, or they have outsourced the manufacturing. Okay, the next one is a foreign direct investment and build operate transfer model. Again, both are that way separate, but foreign direct investment here, company directly invest, okay, into your project. They probably do not need the management control, etc., but they will have their revenue stream created in discussion with you. Okay, they may seek sometime some part of your ownership, etc., or some stock, so that when your stock rises, their worth will rise, and they, at an appropriate time after the lock-in period is over, they can sell this stock in the market and earn fantastically. So this is like build, operate, transfer, bought model is complete setup is created, built, operational, this thing has been done, and then it is transferred. Generally, IT firms, when they set up their centers, it is on build, operate, transfer model basis. Digital and platform-based market entry. So nowadays, even that access is available. So many brands or the company can leverage the e-commerce available in the foreign market. They can create their warehouse, okay? They have to just create only warehouse so that when the e-commerce platform gets the business, your warehouse is able to supply. So here you are entering with limited risk. Marketing and selling, you depend on that e-platform. So Indian SMEs are using, that is, they are using Shopify, Amazon Global, etc. for selling their goods into multiple market. So that's another way to reach out to the foreign market. Distributor is also another approach. Here is an independent entity that has been considered as your distributor. He is not an importer. He is a distributor. Like in India, you have a distributor. He is a distributor for a particular area who purchases the goods from you because it's a foreign market. So the purchase transaction takes place, okay, and then resales them into the foreign market. So Coca-Cola uses this concept very well. You'll be surprised, but Coca-Cola themselves do not manufacture Coke that you drink. They are only manufacturing concentrates. Worldwide, what they have is a bottling plant, and they are the one who not only create finally packed bottle of Coca-Cola and distributes it across the country or the area given to them. So like Coca-Cola has a multiple bottling plants across India, and their territory is earmarked. So they will not only create a Coke as a product to drink, but they will distribute. Agents is another way, who's an intermediary, and he facilitates as a middleman, facilitates sales between a company and a foreign buyer. So here he introduces foreign buyer to you, acting as an agent. Okay, of course your commission and various things are decided between you. So luxury fashion brand use agent in emerging market to connect with retailer and high net worth customer. So some luxury brand wants to enter India, then he can use this concept of being identifying an agent who will take them to the fashion retailer, who will take them to the high net worth customers, and they earn commission out of it. So that's another strategy. Strategic alliance is another strategy. A strategic alliance involves a collaboration between two or more companies to leverage each other's strengths in a foreign market while remaining as an independent agency. So here, it's not a joint venture. Example, Starbucks formed a strategic alliance with Tata. So I'm therefore directly went to the example itself in India. You know, so Starbucks benefited from Tata's local expertise and supply chain. So Tata plays certain role in helping Starbucks put up a shop, and running a shop is like a Starbucks responsibility. They understand that business very well. Tata understands Indian constitution, law, and India's way of working, etc. They have strategically come together so that Starbucks can spread faster in India. So that's what strategic alliance is all about. Digital disruption. So the trend that we are trying to understand in today, when you consider your market entry in any foreign market, the major disruption is a digital disruption and online marketplace. enter international market without a physical presence, it allows you that also. That's an opportunity. Okay, you may even bypass that importer, etc. So Shein, which is a Chinese fashion brand, entered global market purely through an online sales. After achieving the desired level of success and the scale, then they put up their infrastructure, their retail shop, etc. So that's how they are penetrating the world market. Influencers and social commerce based market entry. Brands now use social media and the influencers to establish a foothold there in the foreign market. So they have captured TikTok, or they have to capture Instagram influencers who will talk about your brand, the worthiness of your brand, exclusivity of your brand. So Daniel Wellington expanded globally by using micro influencers. So micro influencers are spread across the country of your interest, etc. And they promote the watches manufactured by them. So this is another emerging trend in the market entry strategy, crowdsource expansion strategy. Some brands leverage crowdfunding or customer-based expansion by involving customer themselves in the product development or funding of your project or creating a brand advocates, etc. Business generates built-in demand before officially entering. So here you are kind of bringing the power of crowd itself in the focus. Oculus, the virtual reality company, initially raised funds via Kickstarter, gaining early and adopter advantage, and then proving that demand exists, and then they got into formalization of their structure in various countries. So that's how one can do that. So with this, we complete this particular chapter wherein we understood different entry level strategies you have when you decide to enter any foreign market. Thank you.